Välkommen till Magpodden. Här kan du lyssna på ett samtal mellan mig och en blivande eller nuvarande mamma om ett specifikt ämne. Ett nytt samtal kommer varje vecka på veckodagen som passar ämnet. De olika kategorierna hittar du enklast på Magpoddens hemsida, magpodden.com. Där hittar du också porträtt på dem som jag pratar med här. För jag är porträttfotograf i Vasastan i Stockholm med speciell inriktning på gravida och nyfödda. I min studio har jag haft många fina samtal med mina kunder. Och en dag insåg jag att de här samtalen kanske var någonting som andra kunde ha glädje av att lyssna på. Av olika anledningar. Och så kom Magpodden till. Jag heter Bodil Bergman Hughes och mitt företag heter Bergman Hughes Images. I övrigt så gillar jag saltlakris, sköna soffor, roliga kvinnor, berg- och dalbanor, sena kvällar, stora hjärtan, solmusik och kaffe. Bland annat. Nu börjar vi. Hejsan, hejsan. Det här är Magpodden och jag befinner mig på en magmåndag. Och idag så är det faktiskt så att Magpodden ska vara på engelska för att jag har en gäst som går på svenska lektioner men inte riktigt har kommit så långt så kan ha en hel samtal med mig på svenska. Så vi tänker köra på engelska. Hoppas det är okej för alla er som lyssnar. Och jag säger välkommen till Courtney. Hej Courtney.
Hi, how are you?
There you are, I'm good. So I think we got the technical parts taken care of, and I can't wait to have this full conversation with you. We did meet the other day, but we talked about other things that I want to talk with you, today. Yeah, right. So the reason we're here right now on my recording devices is because we met on the Underbara Barnmässan. And your story is so common, the story I want you to at least begin to tell us. And it was when you have one child, right?
Correct. Yeah,
and you live in Stockholm. You have a Swedish husband, as far as I know.
I do. Yes, I came here for love, as many people do.
That's what the Americans do. I have one of those two at home. And I came for love. The reason that we're now connected, you and I, is because we have a common interest in, well, parents and their children, really, is our common interest. Because you have a business. You do a lot of things, but you are, if we put it, be short, like a sleep coach. One of the things you do is that.
Exactly, yeah. I'm a child sleep specialist.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I got certified as a sleep specialist because of my own daughter. She was really the beginning of my whole story. So,
and that's the story I sort of want us to share today. So I thought that we would really get into that. So what I'm going to ask you is, first of all, like, how old is your daughter now?
She had just turned two, a week ago. So is now in her, the so-called terrible twos are true to the name at the moment.
Yeah.
She literally woke up on her second birthday and no was the word she was saying, and that's all she says now. So it's pretty funny, but, you know.
It'll pass.
Yes. Everything's a phase. So.
Yeah, and the thing was that the whole, like, the origin of your business today is because you really had, I know you told me just the sense that you had a really hard time with sleep when she was small, but tell me really how it was, like, how did it start? How was it? And everything you can think of. And I'll probably ask you questions along the way.
Yeah, sure. So how this started was basically I was like every pregnant woman out there, you know, you read everything you can and you try to prepare yourself and be ready for your child to be born. And you heard all, you know, the colicky stories and, you know, the babies don't sleep and you'll be exhausted. And, you know, I understood that and I was ready. You know, I was like, okay, I know it's going to be hard at the beginning, but, you know, again, another phase. But after, you know, our daughter was born, you know, total fine birth. It was great experience, really. But she kind of came out screaming and never stopped. And it was a really rough time because, you know, when she was born, she basically, you know, she was born and she came up onto my chest and literally didn't leave it, for about, almost 6 months. You know, when I went to BBC, when she was, you know, newborn and, you know, even first 3 months, people kept saying, oh, babies cry and oh, babies have a hard time sleeping. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I get that, I get that. But it was not the same. And even, you know, I was thinking about this conversation before we got on the call, and I was sitting here thinking, you know, I think back and all that, and I'm just, it makes me sad. You know, it makes me really sad that I didn't have that enjoyable newborn experience because my daughter screamed literally bloody murder all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Awful.
That must have been
so incredibly
stressful.
I mean, I call it a living nightmare because it was, and it was really sad at the time because it was so hard for both me and my husband. And of course our daughter. I mean, even just to change a diaper, she would scream like it was, you know, just like her arms are being ripped off. And I was just like, this isn't right. You know, like this isn't right. And so after about 5 months of continuing to go to BBC and asking, you know, something's going on, like I need help.
Yeah.
And finally, after 5 months, we found out she had a milk protein allergy. You know, she didn't have any signs like no, I mean, she had some eczema, or not even eczema, but, you know, she just had normal things going on, you know.
Oh, eczema. Okay, like some eczema. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like eczema, yeah. And so, you know, she didn't even really have that. She was just a really cranky, unhappy baby. And all I could think of was, you know, oh, babies are born and they have a personality. And I'm like, oh, God, what if my husband and I created, you know? Oh, God. But, you know, some parts are still there, but, you know, others are definitely not for personality now. But we finally found out, anyhow, that she had a milk protein allergy at 5 months. And so I stopped eating all dairy, and it was a total change with her. I mean, she was
a totally
different child.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I was going to say in Swedish, the dairy means like mjölkprodukter, so we know, everybody might know that word, dairy.
Yeah. It was a milk protein allergy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was very common, very, very common. But she didn't show any, like, the normal signs. I mean, anything. So we really pushed to get her.
You went to BBC and asked questions, right?
Oh, gosh. I was probably the annoying mom. And, well, everyone kept saying, oh, babies cry.
And nobody thought of telling you, cut out milk just to try it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course you hear it, but you're not really told, you know, why exactly. And you're also, like, when I was reading some of the information, too, you know, I was reading all these things about all the signs, and I was like, she doesn't have any of these signs other than crankiness.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I mean, that was her only sign, really, of, you know, I mean, she, of course, had stomach issues, but then everyone kept saying, oh, baby girl has stomach issues. And,
but that's
you know,
crazy.
Everything was always being told to me that, like, oh, it's normal, it'll pass. It's normal, it'll pass. And, you know, in the back of my head, I just kept thinking, I'm like, this isn't normal. You know, I had turned into the mom that had severe anxiety and then had postpartum depression because I never slept. Because that was the other part of it, where she was not only, you know, very unhappy as a baby, but that she never slept and we could never put her down. Like, you know, you couldn't even put her down in her bassinet or anything for a second, you know, and she would just scream. And so she was constantly on us. And never slept. I mean, I had to sleep in the couch sitting up because I couldn't even lay down. She would wake up and scream. So she probably also had some reflux, which is very normal also, but, you know, uncomfortable for the poor child. Mm. So, you know, I slept sitting up on the couch, which really isn't, you know, a whole lot of sleep. And she didn't sleep either because she kept waking up, you know, every few hours and crying. So it was, like I said, it was rather hard. And looking back, I just think, oh, God, I do not want anyone to have to experience that.
It sounds absolutely horrible. You know, one of my nightmares, one of the things I feared before I had a baby, I think while I was pregnant, was the colic, as they call it, you know, where the babies would really cry, like this, really. And that to me was like, oh, my God, I hope I just don't get that. Because I couldn't imagine standing it, really, a child that would scream that much. And I had somebody who came here for a photograph session, and they had a baby like that. She must have been older then because they talked back about that. But they said it wasn't, at least, it wasn't like the whole time. It was certain periods
of
the day.
Right, it was only a certain part of the day, right. And that was the thing where I was like, gosh, this just, I can't be colic. I mean, she's screaming all the time. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. I mean, granted, she's fussy during, you know, certain times, but it just wasn't all fitting together in my head. And then when it, 5 months into it, I was like, this can't be still college. I mean, I'm sorry, but we need help now. And I mean, literally I was to the point where I was not okay, mentally, because I just hadn't slept very well, ever since she had been born. And even before that, just because, you don't sleep very well when you're pregnant most of the time.
Right, exactly.
I was suffering. I was really suffering. It was a bad situation, basically.
What made you? I'm sorry, I've probably said it already. So, what made you think of the milk thing?
I'll get to that. Actually, we went to see a doctor. We were given a someone's name, and so we went and visited her. And in her office, she did a milk and egg allergy test, just a little prick test, and sure enough it was milk, and that was it, and it was just like, okay, at least I know exactly what to do now. I know what's going on. And luckily it changed a lot for us. It didn't change everything, which I'll talk a little bit more about too, because then she did not know how to sleep. But she changed into a totally different child. So it was just amazing. I mean, I was just like, oh wow, okay. I don't have to deal with the screaming, all day now. Maybe it's just normal, kind of fussiness and tiredness. So that changed everything. But then after that, I realized, she didn't know how to sleep. She didn't know how to not be on us, because she had spent so much time being carried and on us. So that was the next step then, was to get her to sleep correctly and also be able to lay her down. So that was my next challenge. That was the second part of the struggle. And so I spent so much time looking up information and reading and reading and reading and reading. And I read so many books about sleep, and I tried many different things. And then finally I got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore, and I had to figure out what was going on. So I actually bought a package with a sleep consultant as well.
Somebody who would sit with you and have meetings and try to figure it out.
Exactly. And basically guide you through it, because, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to figure it out. And, when I sat down with this woman, it was another life change. I mean, it took a little longer time than normal, to kind of get her to sleep, but that was okay. At least we saw the changes, pretty fast. Within 2 weeks, life was different again. I mean, I'm by no means was she a perfect sleeper just yet, but at least I had found something that helped us, and then I knew I could continue on with that. And so after that, she was about 8 months old, and then she finally started sleeping a lot better. And that's when I realized, I was like, this is what I want to do.
You want to be a sleep
consultant?
I've always
wanted to work, with people. I've always wanted to, help people. I'm also a nutritionist, and I always wanted to help, people do training, and I knew I wanted to do that, but I was like, but that's still not enough. Like I needed something else, that would really help change people's lives. And so I got certified as a child sleep specialist, in the U.S., went through a program, and I haven't looked back since, to tell you the truth. I mean, I truly, truly love what I'm doing.
But it's so funny, if I can go back a little bit, because the thing is that what's really good about this, well, first of all, actually, the first part of the trouble she had was not really about, sleep was sort of not even the first part of the list. It was like, oh my God, the screaming, really. And that would have been the first issue. And I'm thinking, I'm sure that nobody can even imagine a very high percentage of what that actually is like to be in that sort of life. But I'm thinking, once that changed, you must have just been trying to keep your nose above water. I mean, it was just getting through the day. Right? Yeah. It must have been.
If I was lucky. I mean, I would put on a happy face. Of course, I talked to people about my sleep struggles, but for the most part, I was trying to be that mom that, was out walking their baby and out meeting for coffee, but it just wasn't working. I had so much anxiety because she screamed so much, and it was like you couldn't go have coffee because she would be crying most of the time anyways. And
so
then
you
would be
isolated then. Would you stay home rather than go out?
Yeah, basically. basically. And the fact that I was just so exhausted, I didn't even know what else to do. Yeah. You know, I just, the only thing I could do was get through the day. And, yeah, it was, like I said, it was a really, really rough time.
Yeah,
and
it must have been horrible.
I can even, you know, like when I meet people now with newborns, and I can see it in their eyes. I can see it in their eyes that they need help.
Oh,
and
they really?
You know, they needed, yeah, I can see it. You know, it's because I was there, and I just see the the desperation in their eyes, like, mm-hmm. what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And I just want to tell people, like, you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, it's just, you just need a little bit more knowledge, and that's all it is. You know, it's like, you're not doing anything wrong at all.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, some people get lucky with babies who sleep, and others just have more sensitive children. And, like, my daughter is extremely sensitive, and I know that now.
Yeah.
But I also know that it makes me a better parent in a way, because I can really, you know, I've read so much now and know so much about sensitive children that I can try to help her adjust to situations or prepare her for things, and just know a little bit more. So I'm hoping, you know, that I'm educating parents, you know, how to be better parents too, you know, for their children.
But wouldn't you say that now, like how long, because now she's 2 years old, you say, just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So how long would you say it took? I'm sure that you still have a sadness of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I understand how that can, I can totally understand how it can be like that, because it's something that you would look back on. It was such a hard time that you probably have some emotions still tied to that. But I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
how long did it take you to sort of get back on your feet? I mean, mentally, emotionally, whatever, back on your feet. Like, okay, now it's, I don't know what I'm trying to, like, if you even know
mm-hmm.
how long it took or when it is. Because now it's
It took me about, I would say around 6 months or so. I mean,
after she got better.
Yeah. I would say it took me about 6 months to feel like, okay, you know, you kind of lose the anxiety of her not sleeping and everything, and you kind of start to get back to normal, and you try to get a little bit more rest yourself. But, you know, it takes some time. Maybe it was a little less than that. I mean, I can't really think of the exact, like, day I woke up and it was like, oh, wow, like, things are really working. I mean, it might have been sooner than that. But, you know, by the time she was 15 months old, I was like, oh, wow, like, what a journey we've had, you know, like, since she was born. And our good part of the journey kind of just started, you know, it seemed like at that time. So, yeah, it did take some time to recover from it, especially the anxiety part of it and some of the depression, just to come back out of that fog.
You go to therapy? Did you find some help
for
you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I went to the doctor, and I basically, you know, I said, I'm not okay. You know, I'm not good. And so, yeah, I was able to go and speak to someone, and at least just kind of work through it all. But, you know, honestly, it was good to go, and I highly recommend it for many people, just to be able to not feel so alone. But, you know, everywhere I went, you just get looked at, like, if you have a child that doesn't sleep well or that is a little sensitive, people tend to look at you like you're a bad parent or you're doing something wrong. And it's really tough. And I still get it even with what I do, you know, when I help parents, because there are so many people that have babies that just sleep and it's never been an issue. And they try the things that they read online and then boom, poof, it works.
Uh-huh.
And then there's others that, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get judged all the time. Like, are you kidding? Like, people need your service. And, you know, like, they don't get it because they've never been there. So it's one of those things, like, even now that, you know, with what I do and also my child, like, I've had to protect her sleep. And I have to at least, you know, reach out to the people who do get it and do understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, to the ones that don't and they have those wonderful sleeping babies, enjoy it.
And
that's all you can say is, like, just, you know, enjoy it. You have no idea, you know, how lucky you are with a baby that doesn't have, you know, a whole lot of sleeping issues. So
I think it's so interesting because when we first talked on the fair, where like you experience with people coming to your booth too, or actually passing by your booth, like, they don't understand it because it is like, okay, let's first make it clear. In America, in the States, this is more well known. The service you provide is more well known. It's not well known in Sweden. And I must say, as far as I know, and people do, of course, have problems with non-sleeping babies, but I guess we just kind of push through it or something. I don't know, because I have not heard of this specialty before.
Yeah. You know, it's a little different. I mean, it's culture too. It's also because in the States, we don't get maternity leave for very long.
Oh, that's true.
So it's much different when you have to go back to work after 6 weeks, 8 weeks, which is just awful. I mean, personally, I think that's just awful. I would not, I couldn't even imagine having to send my little baby.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so upset about that whole thing that I can't believe that a developed country like that can even have. For me, it's like, how can humans live there? I mean, of course, there's other things, but that thing to me is heartbreaking that they don't have parent leave like we do. I think it's heartbreaking. Yeah,
I know. At least not more. I mean, things are starting to change. I think that, you know, they're seeing the light.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's definitely so slow, and you know, it's kind of inhumane, to tell you the truth, like how, you know, work is treated in the States. So, I mean, there's definitely a better life balance here in Sweden. But the thing is, you know, a lot of people are home, and they can just say, oh, it's no deal, I don't have to go to work yet. But what they don't, you know, which is true, but what they don't understand is that, you know, sleep is so important for their child, but also for them. And it's not just, and I'm not just talking about at that time, I mean for your whole entire life. We're just finding out studies now that sleep affects us when we're older too. It is the reason for Alzheimer's, behavior issues. Many ADHD cases are misdiagnosed because of sleeping problems or lack of sleep.
Really?
High blood pressure, heart attacks. I mean, all of this stuff is linked to not resting enough.
Really?
I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong, it's not the only thing, but this is, there's studies now that are showing that if you rest more, it improves your lifespan, it improves your overall health, memory, everything. I mean, I don't think we even know how important sleep is yet. And it's something that is the first thing that kind of like gets taken off our list, you know, of priorities. So that is huge, and I think that's what I really want to educate parents about for them, but also obviously their children too, because it is such an important part of their development.
Mm.
You know, for growth too. I mean, growth, mental development, emotional development, everything. I mean, we're seeing so many more behavioral problems now, and it's a lot of it's because we're overscheduled. We don't honor our sleep, and now we're passing these habits down onto our children, which are just, you know, translating into health issues.
It's really, I feel like I'm sitting here almost blushing because I've been really not prioritizing sleep for the last a lot of years. I remember many years, but we are going to talk about the children thing, but I mean, many years back, I've always been a night owl, but many years back, I had like a spell of working really, I remember still talking to my then boss on a school bus working, saying, oh my God, I stayed up till 1 o'clock last night. And then I did it like, 3 more nights, and I remember that when that started, because I would get up, you know, at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and since then, and that's been many years, I've been sort of doing that, until, you know, for a while, I realized, okay, this is just not working anymore, and I'm getting older, too, so sleep, my mom has always been worried about me, the nurse, and she keeps talking about my sleep, and she gets worried, and I understand it, and I've been sort of denying, I've been in holding my ears, saying la-la-la, denial, pretty much. But for children, let's go back to kids. And I think if we were to, like, how would you say, could you like briefly explain a little bit how you would work with a family or give us an example in case you have or have had or something like that, or how that would work?
Yeah, well, there's two. I mean, I work with families mainly on a one-on-one basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the bulk of my work is working with parents and teaching them about the correct schedules for their child. Because every age is going to have a different sleep requirement.
Okay.
You know, and every
in amount of hours, or what do you mean?
Yeah, so, you know, when it's been a day. So, for example, like I met with a family with a 9-month-old today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, they, you know, for their daughter, she needs, you know, about 12, you know, 13 hours of sleep total for the day, if not more, maybe 14 actually. And she can handle, you know, an awake window of about 3 to 4 hours. So that's for a 9-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
So that changes. I mean, that's going to change from now until she's 12 months old too. So it can be really difficult for parents to know how, long their child should be awake and what exactly the right schedule for their day should be. You know, I mean, I know a lot of parents who schedule activities around 2 o'clock, but that is like the main nap time that you should be having your child sleep at, you know, like around 2 o'clock.
But isn't that different for different kids or is it not?
No, it's honestly, generally it's around the same for the same age group, like groups. I mean, obviously every child's different. And that's why I work individually with parents because we have to figure out what exactly, you know, the sleep need is for the child, how much sleep do they need. But, you know, generally the hours are the same, you know, okay, for specific age groups. So, you know, if I'm working with a newborn, I don't do totally, you know, specific plans for newborns. It's more about education and telling the parent, you know, what to expect. And, you know, around 4 months, then we can really start getting on, you know, how to sort out day and night sleep and, you know, what the best schedule is for the day for them and everything. Because everything's always, like I said, the first years, I mean, it changes so drastically. It's hard to keep up, to tell you the truth, you know, for a first-time parent. Or even, I mean, whatever, however many kids you have, I mean, it can be difficult to remember how much sleep they need. So basically, yeah, I sit down with them. We go over, I explain sleep, you know, like what is it, why we need it, you know, how it affects us as humans. And then I also go through them like a sleeping plan and putting together a correct bedtime. And depending
correct,
on...
Like what does that correct bedtime to me sounds like? Is there such a thing? But I guess you would say yes.
there is actually. And for children around 6 months, they should be going to bed around 7. So they should have a 7 o'clock bedtime from about 6 months on. Granted, you know, again, this could change depending on your child. You could be doing 7 months in at 7 o'clock at bedtime. It just depends on how many naps they're still taking in around 6 months. But generally, bedtime should be around 7 o'clock and not any later, because otherwise you're going to be missing their sleep window. And their sleep window means basically that if they go into overdrive in their bodies, they're going to say, oh, my kid's not tired. They're running around and they're crazy and they have so much energy. And what you're seeing, though, is hyperactivity. And that's not good energy. Not good because their body has gone into overdrive. And basically their system has been flooded with the stress hormone called cortisol. And that's what's rushing them to stay awake and stay active. And the reason why they're hyper and like rushing around and acting crazy is because they're way too tired. They're exhausted and they're just trying anything that they can to stay awake.
But this is so, older kids now. This is like preschool age.
No. This begins early. Really early.
But running around, I mean, that's...
Well, obviously, okay, maybe not running around, but to the point where if a baby can't run around or, you know, if they're crawling or something, they don't show any signs of tiredness. And if it's, you know, around 8, 9 o'clock at night, you're like, oh, my baby's just not tired. Oh, your poor child, you know, overtired. They need a earlier bedtime.
Yeah.
And you need a very good, you know, bedtime routine to help transition into daytime or nighttime sleep. And then, you know, then they'll be going to sleep at the correct time for them, because most children need to be on, you know, a 7-to-7 schedule, so they get a good 11, 12 hours of sleep every night.
You know what? Now that you're telling me the story, I just remember being in the... What happens is that I almost feel like, oh my gosh, it's poor babies, you know, because a while back I had a friend over with her child, and they were here like 10 o'clock at night, and there was a little one-year-old, and she pretty much broke down at the very end, you know? And I'm thinking, and I even picked up, this girl needs to come back home to bed. She's too tired. Like drink up your tea and go, you know. And I felt, but I can understand if people, you know, are with friends or they're away at a party and they bring their children because they, you know, they have to, then this can happen. And I'm sure, I mean, if it happens once in a while, of course, it doesn't matter. But does it? Yeah. Doesn't matter.
You know, every once in a while, it's fine. You know, it's totally fine. But for the most part, I really encourage parents to honor sleep and to honor their children's bedtime, because truthfully, it's such a short time. I mean, it's not like we're talking 10 years. I mean, you know, you want to honor their sleep for at least at least the first 3 years. But of course you can go out with friends. You know, of course you can have that night where you're not home for bedtime and you have to stay up a little later. Of course. I mean, you know, it, of course. I mean, I'm not.
No, I understand.
You know,
I love the way you say honor their bedtime. It's like, it's very, I like, it's a very nice sentence. It's like, it makes it, it's like, yeah, no, it's good. It feels, it's like honor their bedtime. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, we need to respect their sleep. I mean, we need to respect their health because, you know, honestly, sleeping well isn't, and teaching them how to sleep is, or maybe not teaching, but giving them the good skills to sleep is no different than, you know, sitting at the table and eating food. No different than having, you know, manners and saying please or thank you or, you know, just normal things. So, you know, people always talk about wanting to have a child that knows these skills, and having sleep skills is honestly no different. Because you have to remember, too, that you have to have good sleeping skills, you know, as a child, because then these follow you into adulthood, too. You know, when I started learning so much more about sleep, too, is that I've always been a night owl. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm just not tired. And then I realize, I'm like, no, I'm exhausted. I should go to sleep. I'm missing my own bedtime. And I'm guilty. I also see it, you know, too late, too. But I also know what I'm doing to my body, and I know that I need to sleep, and I know how much better I feel when I do get it. So,
No, I know. I've just recently did a huge change because I've been a night owl, like I said, like you for a long time. Been up to 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I sleep in when my family sort of gets up. You know, really. So I'm like totally on different schedules. And then recently, I read a book called The Miracle Morning. Which inspired me to change a total drastic change where I now get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I start taking it kind of easy, a little, you know, just a nice start that's not work right away. But then I do get into work. So by 8 o'clock, I've been working for like 2 hours and I've been working rested. So now I'm like sleep starting working. So now I go to bed like at 10, 10:30 at night. And it's a drastic change to what I've been doing for years, but I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better.
Same for me. I've always worked really late. And then, always felt really groggy, really tired in the morning. I was never a morning person. But then, you know, I realize if I go to bed early, I am a morning person.
Yeah,
you know, I can get up. I feel even better, actually, because my body, like, is awake earlier. So it's pretty funny, like, the things that you
sleep is a very big issue. Yourself. And I think that parents, what I want to ask you is that, because I think people also have, it can bring up some guilt, I think. If you don't handle your own sleep, you feel bad about it. If you can't handle your kids' sleep, you feel bad. Like, it's a lot of guilt issues. Wouldn't you say, have you met any of that?
No, honestly, no guilt yet. More of it's just desperation.
Parents
just need sleep. You know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, we talk about habits and, you know, passing down good sleep habits is no different than passing down good nutrition choices either.
No.
So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. And, you know, we are seeing a lot of bad habits being passed down to our kids now. And, you know, I think we're going to see that in the next generation, which is sad, you know, because we're thinking, oh, no, this stuff doesn't matter because we can't see, you know, the immediate result of it right now. And that's kind of like the problem of technology, too. You know, we want everything right now, and if it's not affecting us right now, then it must not be affecting us.
Right.
And that's just not the case. So,
what would you say is, like, if you really, because you know, I think it's so interesting when people get into different businesses, and I do now. We all know about the story, how it all started, and how desperate you were, and how what a, you know, horrible start, a parent start you got. But why, if you could explain, why you actually went professional? You said, "Yeah, I want to do that," but you keep doing it, and building a business is not that easy. But you're sort of hanging in there, and you've told me that you're very passionate about it, and I can see it when I see you that you are. But why would you say that you are in the line of business you are, a sleeping consultant for parents? Why do you pick that profession?
It's rewarding. It's truly rewarding to know that you can help parents out there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when I work with families, I get very attached to them. I mean, I just, because, you know, we're in contact so much for over a 3-week period of time, because if, if you use my personalized happy sleep plan, we have a 10-day sleeping plan to get, you know, your child to sleep on their own so they develop healthy sleep skills. And that's what I do with a lot of parents. And so we're in contact a lot, you know, and we kind of share the joys of, you know, things going well and also the struggles of when things are still a little bit difficult. So, you know, it's, I guess it's that working together and finding just the joy in helping people and helping that family get better nights and just the testimonials that I get, you know, alone are just like, oh my God, you helped us so much. I can't even thank you enough, you know, or you just changed everything for us. And why didn't we do this sooner? And you saved our marriage, honestly, because that's the truth. I mean, like, you know, when you're tired, then you start, you know, fighting with your spouse too. And then just everything in life kind of gets a little heavier. And so, you know, when that change happens and, oh my gosh, you have your night back again, you know, like your child is asleep at 7, 8 o'clock or something like that. And you're used to having to carry your child, you know, until 10 or 11, or they're waking up every 2 hours. And, you know, then all of a sudden you have your night back and you're just like, okay, what do we do now? You know, and just seeing that change happen is very rewarding. And so that's why I just keep doing it. I mean, I love meeting the little kids that I work with too. I mean, again, I met a family today and like their daughter was just so adorable, you know, and so sweet. And I want her to be sleeping well, you know, I want her to be sleeping well so she has a healthy future.
So you really feel then that what you offer is highly valuable for the people that you meet.
Yeah, it is.
I would say it's life-changing. I would say it's life-changing what you offer or what you can help them to achieve.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I mean, just, again, like the experience I had with it, that it just changed our life entirely. And knowing that, like, I'm doing the same thing for other people now is, it's what keeps me going every day. And you know, it's not hard being in business for yourself. You know, like, it's a lot of struggle. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's finding something that you truly love to do, and you do it, and that's what I've found. So I really enjoy it.
No, because I think it is very important to know why you are doing what you're doing, and that is why. And if you're clear, like we talked about this before, you and me, we like talking business, and I think that's what I experience in my business too. That I really truly feel that I offer something of value, and you do too. And I think it's so cool that you have experienced something that was very, very difficult. I'm trying to avoid the word hell, but it kind of was hell, wasn't it?
How can you connect any child?
But it must have been, it's so hard that, and I think the basis, that's where everything sort of started. And I think that really helps you because you do have true empathy with these people because you know, you've been there and you've been worse. Most of the time.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, people are saying, oh, when are you going to have your second? I'm like, no, not yet. I mean, even all the, you know, beautiful babies that we saw at Underbar Barn, and of course I'm like, oh, how cute. I'm like, I'm still not over the beginning.
I don't blame you, but on the other hand, you're still young too. You can still have children later. 10 years from now, you'll have a little extra child. Because now you know so much better. So now, of course, you would avoid any sort of those kind of problems anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know so much now that I didn't know before that, honestly, if I have troubles with my second, I don't even know who I'm going to turn to. I know so much more now. I know how to prepare. I know if I would have known the sleep needs of a newborn, I just would have changed everything. And, you know, I also love working with pregnant moms and pregnant parents, you know, who are expecting and newborns, just because I love being able to educate them on, you know, what to expect. And if this happens, you know, think about this and, you know your baby's cries, because that's also something that is a tool in your back pocket to, you know, help navigate the first, you know, beginning weeks and everything, because it is, it's, you know, it's a life change and you're never the same from it. 100% you're always better from it all, you know, obviously. At least I see it that way for sure, is that you're never the same. And I know that was one of my biggest worries before I had children, was that like, oh, I'll never be the same. But, you know, you're better.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you're better.
You walk into a different phase of your life.
Yeah. I mean, like your priorities change and, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's everything, you're just a better person, it feels like, I guess. You know, you just, you know more, you've experienced more, you're,
yeah.
I don't know, you just, it's, you're in the mom club now, you know?
I know.
Truly a club.
But I think it's so interesting because, we're running on 41 minutes here. What I wanted to say, and I want people I so wanted to have this conversation with you because since it is such an unknown service, and I know, because the thing is too, when I meet so many women and parents, you know, in my studio, I notice that we talk a lot about life and being a parent and stuff that happens and things, and I really care about them to have a good life with their baby, and I'm and there's been other issues too, like you know, with the feeding and all that, but this is a new service, and I think I'm so happy that we're working together, because we're going to have a corporation, so we can inform our clients about each other, really, but I really want people to know, and that's why I wanted to have you on, that this service is available. It's not something Swedes know about, because we have not had this before.
And parents don't have to suffer, you know, through awful nights. I mean, that's the thing. They don't have to suffer.
No.
It doesn't make you a better parent.
No.
You know?
And that's what it's going to come to, too, because especially when you have your first child, there's so much pressure to be a good parent. And it's very, very hard the first weeks. And it's hard then, too. But, I mean, it's such a big change, and it's very difficult to... It's just difficult. And I think that it's hard enough to try to be a good parent. And many people have high expectations. I was one of them. High expectations on what kind of a parent I'm going to be. And then things just sort of hit you right between the eyes, you know, and it can be very, very overwhelming. Yeah. And this is an area that I'm telling you, these are not something that is offered on the list on the BBCs or on list anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want people to know about you. I want them to know that you exist.
Thank you.
And I think that I put you, remember how I took this photo on Instagram of you and we were eating our lunch? And I put the thing on, obviously went right into social media, and somebody, I think two people pinged somebody else. They put, a name.
Great.
That they had somebody they knew would need you, right then. And of course we know that, but I think we're just used to, that's just the way it is. You got to, you know, hang in there.
And that's what I was told so much. It'll get better. It'll get better. I'm like, okay.
No, exactly. Okay. And if anything can be changed, it's like me, I have this thing. I really think that there's a lot of women that suffer, completely unnecessarily when it comes to feeding them and breastfeeding. And if they only knew some basic stuff and people around them would know the same things, we would avoid a lot of unnecessary suffering. So that is one of my missions now, to change that. And you have sort of the same mission, but on the sleep side. And I think that's so interesting. So there's a lot of unnecessary suffering going on that I think you and I are going to change come time. We'll do that.
I think so too.
I think we are going to finish now, so people have a time to maybe even rewind and listen again, and then rewind. See, that really dates me, right? Nobody rewinds anymore. You just go back to the beginning. There's no rewinding. That's so funny. It's like old cassette days. And now I say a word, a lot of people don't even know what that is. Anyway, funny. So Courtney, you're going to tomorrow. When are you leaving? You're going to the States.
I leave. I'm going to the States. I'm going to attend some ongoing education courses for sleep, so I learn even more. And that's what I'm always doing too, because I don't think you could ever know enough.
Nope,
so I just, I love to learn anyways. So I love having as many tools in my pocket as possible.
Yeah.
So I'll be attending a sleep conference while I'm back in the States.
That is so cool. Sleep conference, man. Yeah. So good luck to you and have a nice trip.
Thank you so much.
I will put this out on MargPod then. We will link to your business, and we will figure out a little, because that's what we're going to do anyway, you and me, some sort of...
Yeah, offer a gift or something.
Something like that. And there will be, sooner or later, we'll have an event that we call, at least a project name is Fika och Fakta, when you can meet, and it's like a seminar, really, that you come to and listen to your talk, and we'll see what we can do, and I can announce it on my newsletters and stuff. But thank you so much for talking to me, Courtney. That was really
good. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was so cool. I'm glad I could catch you before you went on your plane. And we'll get you back. I think I'm going to talk to you again. We'll see what happens with that. And, of course,
sounds good.
People who are listening to this, keep your eye out for... I think dates and seminars and maybe offers and things like that. So we'll mm-hmm. see what happens. Okay. Well, all right. Bye, Courtney. I'll see you all another right, time.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. Bye.